tell you that when I read 3 weeks ago that this is the lesson that I got to teach on, that loving the enemies thing that I had to do the last time I was up here, I was like, yes, but I get to do this lesson. Because this is one of my favorite stories about Jesus. So, I hope to offer you a little bit of insight this morning without stealing all the thunder for your small groups. All right. So, I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I grew up not far from Pittsburgh. That's a football team. I have to tell a group of women, that's a football team. All right, okay. I have memories from a very early age of cheering for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So a few years ago, Terry Bradshaw was a former quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, like 70s, early 80s. That's how far back we're going. Some of you were not born yet. So we did have television, three channels. Everybody watched games because those were our only choices. So Terry Bradshaw, along with Howie Long, were coming to the Richmond Forum. The Richmond Forum is that annual round of speakers that Richmond offers, five or six events a year. So Chuck bought us the whole season that year so that we could definitely have seats to this one event. And then he found better seats to the event, so we sold our old tickets so we could have better seats so I could see Terry Bradshaw like up close and personal. And then my sweet husband surprised me with tickets to the limited access reception after the show so that I could meet him and get my picture taken with him. Chuck had even stuffed my very old, tattered, lucky, terrible towel in his pocket so that I could get Terry Bradshaw to sign my lucky, terrible towel. So we go to the event. And here, Terry Bradshaw, he is hysterical. I laughed so hard, and I loved every minute of it. And then off we go to the reception. And I see him up close, and Chuck says, okay, let's go get in the line for the pictures. We can get pictures taken with him, and then you can meet him. And I could barely speak. Like, I was like mumbling words. I was so nervous, and I could not meet him. Like, Chuck was like, we're getting in the line. Like, Dawn, you're super sane most times. Like, what is going on with you? And I was like, I can't. I just can't meet him. Like, I can't. Because I don't know that I'll speak. I don't know how I react. I might burst into tears. I even now, you can see it. Like, if I bumped into, like, a president, I would be like, yes, sir, I can do it. Any of the former Pittsburgh Steelers, I would be like, and I was like, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass me. It would be totally awkward. So I did not get in the Terry Bradshaw line that night. I stood like a stalker and stared like this. Chuck was super embarrassed. He was like, I'm going to go get some food and a drink then. I was like, okay. I'm just going to stand right here and watch him. He was like, so... This woman in our study, I really love her, okay? Because she wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid. So, this woman in our study, we don't know her name, but our text says she was a sinner. A couple of commentaries and a couple of Tim Keller sermons have all confirmed the same sin in this woman. She was a prostitute. Beyond anything that the church of that time would save. Or could save. And she always wore a bottle of perfume. Now these bottles of fragrant oil were worn about the neck, and these bottles weren't made to be opened. The top in them had some sort of seal that let the oil, the fragrance, get up out of there. And eventually the oil would dry up. But see, at this time there was no lady's speed stick, there was no deodorant, there was no frequent bathing. Everyone had body odor at this time. And part of being beautiful was smelling beautiful. And wealthy husbands would buy these bottles for their wives, and prostitutes needed these bottles for their work and their livelihood. We don't know why she was a prostitute. Was she orphaned? Was she widowed? Was there something about this woman that made her not attractive for marrying? We just don't know. But we do know one important fact, that before this dinner at the Pharisee house, she had had an encounter with Jesus. She had felt his grace because she had believed he was God's son. Whether she was one of the many crowds always surrounding Jesus that we've read about, or maybe she heard people talk through their encounters, or maybe her encounter with Jesus was personal. Maybe she just ran into him. We don't know. We aren't sure of that. But what we are sure of is that her heart was stirred. She knew that Jesus could and would forgive her, or had forgiven her, and she had to get to him. She was going to go to that dinner party. She heard somehow that he was going to be at that house, and she had to show Jesus how much she loved him. Now, I'm not sure if she meant to weep when she got to Jesus, but I do understand being at Jesus' feet and feeling so grateful for him and weeping. So she sees Jesus and she goes right to his feet, the ultimate in humble submission. There was no shaking of hands. There was no speaking. She goes right to his feet. She knew who she was. And she starts to cry. it must have been an ugly cry. I mean, just tears. Just tears. I totally get that ugly cry, too. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I'm making a mess. So she's like, she lets down her hair, which for at the time was grounds for a divorce for a married woman if she let down her hair in public, because that was such a sign of intimacy, was hair being like you had to hide your hair, you had to cover your head. So she dries his feet with the only thing she feels like she can, and she just thinks, I'll take down my hair. And then she breaks that bottle, a bottle that was her lovely livelihood, and pours it all on Jesus' worn, unpedicured, tired feet. Tim Keller says that her breaking of that bottle was a sign that she wasn't going to need perfume like this anymore. A broken bottle is evidence of a life changed by Jesus. It's a lovely thing. I don't know where he got that information, but I do know that the Jesus I know is able to change her life in a way that she doesn't need that bottle anymore. Jesus tells her, your sins are forgiven because you have loved much. So I do identify with this woman. I love this woman, and I think I am this woman a lot. I have been so overcome by the weight of my sin, my pride, my selfishness, my doubt, my sharp tongue. I could go on. And fallen at the feet of Jesus, weeping, overcome by his love and his forgiveness and what he did for me on the cross. And she did all of this while the self-righteous Pharisee and guests watched. See, I can identify a little bit with the Pharisee too, because I've had dinner parties go not the way I wanted. I have had to exercise my gracious hostess skills, right? And I've also wondered why certain people are in church, maybe. Well, it's about time they're here. We all have that. Like, there's all that. So they were absolutely horrified by what they were witnessing. Jesus must not know her. He can't forgive her. Who is he that he even thinks he can forgive her? And she has turned this very civilized dinner into a circus sideshow. I can identify with this self-righteous Pharisee. But he who has forgiven little loves little. So what does Jesus see in this passage? First, he sees sin. He sees it all. No one gets a walk because he bore it all on the cross. He sees my sin and he sees your sin. He sees right into our hearts. He knows when we are sincere in our love for others. He knows if we trust his sacrifice on the cross is enough for our sins. He sees everything that's going on in there. But he forgives. His sacrifice on the cross covers it all. And he sees our gifts to him, our gifts to others. Even small, insignificant ones, he sees our love gifts. Jesus walked everywhere in sandals, more than likely just dry heat. He so appreciated that woman, not because of just why she, her practical gift he loved, but also just the fact that she believed who he was. She believed that she was forgiven. And he loved both of those. He loved her heart and he loved that gift, that simple gift that she brought. So what does he see in you today? And do you see those around you the way he sees them? And are you loving those around you the way he might love them? There's so much in this lesson. Gosh, I love this woman, and I hope you do too.